Feel in need of your prayers this morning. Thank God for the sweet prayer that has been offered. And your presence here has been an encouragement to me, and I feel like to others who have gathered here. We know that we don't come to be anything. We come because of a great need that we have of being here. But our attendance in the house of God can serve to, and our lack of attendance can serve to either encourage or discourage God's people. And we're a people that are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. And it's just a delight to see as many as have gathered this morning to worship the Lord. It's a delight to have you here. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you a rather lengthy passage this morning, but a passage that's on my mind. I trust it's of the Lord. And feel the need to lay it all before you, though we certainly don't intend to speak from all that we read. But if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read from an Old Testament passage in the book of Joshua. A familiar passage, at least much of it will be, I believe, for us this morning. The 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. And here we have Joshua as an old prophet, an old man just about to die. In the 23rd chapter, he is given his kind of like a farewell address to the children of Israel and words of encouragement to them. And then in the 24th chapter, we see just before he died, another time when he called all the tribes of Israel together to Shechem. And there he delivered this wonderful message to them that's been recorded in God's Word and left on record for us, that tells us and teaches us so much, not only of their experience, but also of how it relates to our experience. The Lord will bless us. We hope that we'll be able to share thoughts about that. Beginning at verse 1 of Joshua chapter 24, he says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess the land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. You went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. The men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord, our God, is He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. The Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He had done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak, which was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. And so Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. I know that was quite lengthy as far as reading is concerned, but what a wonderful passage and truth the Lord's laid down for us of how God's hand was upon the nation of Israel, and all of it being the work of God and His amazing grace in their lives. Joshua, being an old man at this time, and I'm not calling him something the Bible doesn't call him. In verse 23, chapter 23, verse 1, it says, Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And I'm getting a little taste of what that means as we grow a little older in this world. That used to be something I just read about and thought about and said, well, that's a long ways off. And blinked my eyes and I'm getting a little taste of what it means to be stricken with age and waxing old. I'm not 110 yet, and Joshua was at that age. And really, in the light of some who lived in the Bible, that was relatively young in some ways. But at this time, 110, Joshua had followed the Lord. He had been blessed to see wonderful things of the Lord. He had a love for the children of Israel. He was a prophet that the Lord had called. Moses had been led of the Lord to and told of the Lord to set apart or ordain Joshua to stand in the place where Moses stood as a leader of the people of God. And of course he was a leader to follow the Lord in His direction, not to guide in his own ways or his own ideas or thoughts, but Joshua was a faithful prophet unto the Lord. And he had a love for the Lord's people. He had a desire for them to follow after the Lord. He understood the importance of following after the Lord. He understood what the Lord had done and what they had done. He understood where their strength had come from. He understood where their blessings had come from. He understood the history, and he shared with them that which they knew. And in this audience of people, there were probably some of those that were 20 years and under when they came out of the land of Egypt. You remember there those, because of their disobedience and rebellion as they walked in the wilderness, that other than Joshua and Caleb, that none would live except those 20 years and under to be able to see the beauties and the wonders of Canaan. But there was no doubt some of them that had been there the whole time and had been eyewitnesses of what had taken place in Egypt. Now the Lord, and the history of how the Lord had come to Abraham when he was in a place of idolatry, not looking for the Lord, not seeking the Lord. Abraham wasn't looking for the Lord when the Lord came to Abraham and called him out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. And it says on the other side of the flood. Well, that really doesn't mean on the other side of the flood of Noah, because this is talking about the great river Euphrates, that water that was there. And that's where, on the other side of that, is where they brought Abraham came from to come to the land of Canaan. And when the Lord came to Abraham, he not only called him to go to a different land, but he worked something in him that Abraham didn't have. Abram didn't have before. He gave him that wonderful gift of faith that we read about in the Hebrew letter. And I'll tell you, when faith took place and he was born of the Spirit of God, Abraham became Abraham. And he turned from idol worship, which he would have never done on his own and never come out on his own. Listen, that was the gods his daddy served. That was the God his mother served. And it wasn't just idol worship on one side, as the scripture says. Here he says, I took your father Abraham, he said, from the other side of the flood, other side of the river Euphrates, and I led him, verse 3, and I led him through it all the land of Canaan, and I multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Now, what was the history of Abraham prior to that? He said, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, that's on the, in other words, my mama's side and my daddy's side, all of them were idol worshippers. Now, brethren, I'm telling you, if you old Baptists today, just because your mama and daddy were old Baptists, you're not a real old Baptist. I'm just going to say that plain. Because it takes something more than a bloodline for you to follow the true and living God and to serve Him as the Lord has taught it. Because by our bloodline, I'll tell you what we learn. Now, I don't want to discount mamas and daddies were old Baptists, so I don't want anybody upset about that or mad at me about that. I love to hear of generations of those who have been in the church and in the truth and that they have come down. But if it's just passed down through a bloodline, through a historical lineage, through anything else, I want you to know idol worship is passed down that way just as well as what might appear to be worship and not true worship. What I want you to see, there's a difference between idol worship and true worship. And that's exactly what he wanted them to see. In the way they were serving God. And the way they were following the Lord. And what they did in their service to God. And who they were to listen to. And he made it clear that Abraham, listen, your father Abraham, before the work of grace in his life, your father Abraham was among idol worshippers. And that his father was an idol worshipper, and on his mother's side they were idol worshippers, and he would have remained in that had not God worked in his heart and given him something to share. If he hadn't had it from the Lord, he wouldn't have had it. And he said, and God did that. And I love that. And you'll see that throughout this passage. I don't want you to miss it. I do highlight in my Bible. Some people might find fault with that, but so be it. It helps me. Sometimes I don't remember why I highlighted it. Sometimes the whole page gets highlighted. Sometimes, it just kind of lets me know I've been there before. Sometimes I need that. I'm old and stricken with age. Sometimes I need a little reminder. And it doesn't hurt me. I'm not going to go any farther with that. He says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Now get that. Abraham didn't get through this on his own. God took him. God led him. He said, I took him. And Joshua is saying this as, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And as the prophets were moved in the Old Testament, they spoke the word of the Lord. And Joshua is speaking as just as if it's coming from the Lord. And the Lord said, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him. In other words, how did Abraham get to the land of Canaan? I'll tell you, he was taken by the Almighty God and His power and His grace. And then he was led. And otherwise, he'd have stayed right there in the idol worship, died in that, died in trespasses and in sins, died with the wage of sin being death, and he would have never had any hope of being with the Lord in heaven in immortal glory, which, by the way, I believe that's where Abraham is right now. He's at home with our Father who is in heaven. And the reason is not because of what Abraham did, but because of what the Lord did. Isn't that good? Y'all say, well, it's good for Abraham. Yes, it's good for Abraham. That same work is necessary in the life of every little child of grace. And the God who has all power, the God who knows His children, knows them by name, who they themselves are inscribed in the very palm of His hand, knows them in covenant, knows them with a foreknowledge that embraces His love. That God knows where they are, who they are, who they would be, what they would be, without Him, and what they are by His grace. And He comes where they are, just like He did with Abraham, and He speaks life unto them and implants faith in them, whereby they are enabled to believe and know the things of God without which they would have never been able to do a thing to follow the Lord. And if you know the Lord today, it's because He knew you that way a long time ago. That sounds good for us, doesn't it? I hope. Hope you feel that way. Hope today you love the Lord. If you love Him, it's because He first loved you. I hope today you believe that He made the heavens and the earth. If you do, it's because He's given you the faith to be able to believe it. I hope you believe today that He sent His only begotten Son, whose name was Jesus, and that He went to the tree of the cross, not just in general for somebody, but He went in particular for each one of His children, Abraham and Joshua and Jacob. And me and you and this, those are our loved ones, that He died there for them, those that love the Lord. He loved them first, and He died there on the tree of the cross and worked a work of grace in them that could not be undone and would never be undone, and finished that work so that when we die, we can have a place to go, and do have a place to go that is brighter than anything in this world. And then also, He has multiplied ways, blessed our lives, and been right with us. He said, I gave him Isaac. So how did Abraham get Isaac? Listen, Isaac was a promised child. Somebody would say Isaac shouldn't have been. Well, in God's plan, Isaac should have been. It's wonderful when we see God work. God works in our life. Every little child you have in this world is a blessing from the Lord. The Bible says they're blessings from the Lord. The work of God in our lives. The little babe in a womb is the work of Almighty God. It's God's handiwork. That's why that life is precious in a womb. God forms it and fashions it according to Scripture. And that life is precious. And when we don't hold it precious, Lord help us. As we have so much in our minds corrupted ideas and thoughts about life. Listen, life is something that belongs to the Lord. The issues of life and death are in the Lord's hands of God. And they're not in man's hands to snuff out his will. They're in the hands of Almighty God. And He says, and I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And gave unto Esau Mount Seir. And somebody said, well, why is Esau mentioned here? Well, Esau is mentioned to separate him from Jacob. And I'll tell you, when you read about the children of Israel, and even when they were in Egypt, there was always a difference between how the Lord dealt with Egypt and the sense that He dealt with the Egyptians and how He dealt with the children of Israel who lived in the land of Goshen. When the plagues, and I got to looking at this because I just looked over Chan last night and I said, you know, how many plagues came on Pharaoh and the Egyptians? In order for the Pharaoh to be brought to that place, he was ready at least for a while to let them go. And, you know, she said 7. I said, well, that's probably what I'd have guessed too. But I said, but it was 10. There were 10. Now, how did I know that? Well, I went and looked. Isn't that wonderful? We got a book. You can go right. When you forget something, you can just go right there and look. I'm sure I've looked at that before. But I began to read about those plagues that came. And in those plagues, you see God's long-suffering, you see God's mercy, you see God's judgment, you see a God you don't play with, You see God's mercy on His children. You see how God has dealt differently with His children and how He deals differently with the world. And you see the wonderful working of God even as those plagues came upon Egypt. And listen, I'll tell you what. America stands in a very dangerous place when we as a nation turn our back upon Almighty God. We sang about great is Thy faithfulness. And our God does not change. That He is, and we can count on Him being the same. And the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And the God that Joshua talked about is the God we serve today. And dear brethren, when we as a nation turn and spit in the face of Almighty God, we will answer. And we as God's little children, just a few of the righteous, but we especially that know the truth, oh, may we pray. We need to pray for our nation, for one another. Take heed unto ourselves. I love this 11th verse in chapter 23. And I can see already I'm going to be all over the place. Yes, I did read it. So, you know, I pray the Lord will lead us and guide us so I'm not so scattered that you get lost. But in chapter 23, verse 11, he said this to those children of Israel. He said, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." You know, sometimes we get so much worried about what the world is doing and how bad they're doing and all that they're doing, we forget what our responsibilities are. And we can't change a whole lot of things that are going on. We can be discouraged by them. We can get overwhelmed by them. As we sang this morning, when overwhelmed with doubts and fears, there is something to do. And that is to look to the Lord of heaven to cheer us up. The Lord's Spirit, may my spirit be cheered. And there is something for you and I to do in a troubled America. And that is just what He told them to do. He says that ye love the Lord your God. Now that's what we're called to do this morning, is to love the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, "What are you going to do about all that's going on?" Well, I just want to love the Lord. And if I love the Lord, that will cause a big change in my behavior. It'll cause a big change in how I think. It'll cause a big change on how I treat my family. It'll cause a big change on how I act on the job. It'll cause a big change as I stand in the church or whether I come to church or not. It'll cause a big change in my life as I walk in this world. I won't walk in the darkness of this world as I walk in His love, but I'd rather be that one that is walking in agreement with God's Word and letting our light so shine before men that others may see our good works, which all have to be done in love. You do all the works in this world and not done in love. They're wasted time if it's not done in a love towards God. So those good works that we do to let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works have to be done in love. And it all does what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, we're just here for a little while. I already told some of us that we're old and stricken with age. We're here short a while than others. But even those who are the youngest among us today, you see, your life is but a vapor, according to James. It's just here for a while, and it soon vanishes away. Just a puff of smoke. So what does that mean? That means I got something to live for every day. That's what Joshua was telling them. Joshua said, listen, the Lord's been with us. He was with our father Abraham. And verse 4, he said, and I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. That's how Jacob and Esau came. How did Jacob? Jacob tells us in Isaiah and Israel, it is the Lord that formed him. The Lord said, I have formed thee. I am thy Redeemer. I am the one that had made thee. In Isaiah 43, he's clear about that. He said to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And when they went down into Egypt, we know how sin was in the bottom of so much of that, as the brothers jealous of Joseph and wanted to, because of the love that the father had for Joseph, and they being jealous. And jealousy, doesn't it cause so much pain and trouble in this whole world? You know where that comes from. It doesn't come out of the Spirit of the Lord. It comes out of that old flesh. And you and I better take heed and battle that, because it can rob you real quick. It can rob you. But there as they went through that, the brothers tried to do away with Joseph, tried to get him out of the scene. But God, that which they meant for evil, aren't you thankful there's a God He didn't call sin to take place. He's not the author of sin. God does not do that, but God overrules those things so many times, and even when they meant it for evil, God brought about good. And how many times can we see God's handprint on our lives? And some of the most difficult things that we were going through at that time, which came not because God brought it on us, because we have sinned and come short, but yet God in His mercy overruled those things and brought, in some cases, those things that seemed to be the hardest for us turned out to be the very best that could have happened. They went down to Egypt, but I'm telling you, in Egypt, the children of Israel didn't have a picnic. They were in a miserable slavery condition where they were under chastisement, they were under trouble, and they were there for 400 years. And then the plagues came on Egypt. And I'm telling you, when Pharaoh said, "I'm not listening," God said, "Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will." Boils and biting flies and frogs and lice. You know, I hear about lice break out at school, I start itching right away. You know, I can imagine just the ground turning into lice. Swarms of biting flies. Not just, you know, not those. We're talking about flies that eat you. We're not talking about a fly that just bothers you a little bit, you know, you smack at. We're talking about those, according to the Psalms, that devour flesh. They devoured them. These flies devoured them. I'm telling you, the boils that broke out, the water that turned to blood, and the fish all died, the smell that came up. And the magicians who thought they were so smart, and there are men today who think they're so smart and can mimic God and do things that God do and try to explain away all the miracles of God. And they thought they were so smart. And about two or three times God let them do some of those things and seemed like they were able to do it, some of their enchantments. But then He had enough of that. And the boils that came out on everybody else when they tried to mimic that, well, they had problems because they couldn't stand because they had boils themselves. I'm telling you, God, our God moves and none can let Him. Our God speaks and it's done. Our God is worthy to be praised. We're not worshiping some divinity that's floating around in nothingness that we don't know anything about. We have a God who's the Lord God of Israel, who's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who's the God, the eternal Father, the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We have a God who walks with us and talks with us. And He's with us in our lives. And by faith, we can see Him just as clearly as Israel saw Him in a natural way as you just look at your life and watch His handprint all over it. Sometimes we're sitting there thinking, what's coming next? Listen, God knows. When I look back and I just see that so many times I was just in such doubt and despair in God's hands right there. Been there the whole time. That's what Joshua was saying. He said, look, I want you to know this. I want you to think about this. He says, I sent Moses and Aaron and I plagued Egypt. Even when it came down to the death of the firstborn. We have a wonderful, loving God who delivered His children from out of the land of Egypt. We have a God who's taken us out of the bondage we were in. And under the condemnation of sin and death, and would have been in a bondage. They were in slavery, but we've been in a greater. We were in, and they spiritually were in that same slavery. It takes God to deliver us out of that Egyptian darkness and bring us and into even out of that place and even into the wilderness and carry us on a wilderness journey to the land of Canaan, a land that flows with milk and honey. I really believe today we're sitting in that spiritual place that He's provided here in this world. I believe there's a better place awaiting. I don't think this is the heaven, but I think this is a heavenly place right here. I believe He's given me some land that flows with milk and honey right here. I believe He's allowed me to drink from the the fountain down here. I believe He's allowed me to have the oil of joy anointed on my head. I believe I've tasted of the wine and the oil and the manna that flows down from heaven. I believe I've had fellowship with Him here in this world. And I didn't build this place, neither did you. I've drank from the vineyards that I didn't build. I'm living in a house I didn't make. I've been blessed by the hand of God. He has been the one who's delivered us to this point and in our lives. And He's the one who's worthy of our trust and our praise. And God's people, we need to choose the Lord. Now, somebody said, Old Baptist, talking about choosing the Lord. Well, yeah, guess what the Bible here says? Choose this day whom you will serve. But I'm telling you, we weren't talking about people who didn't know the Lord choosing Him. We're talking about people who the Lord's given a heart and a work and given life to. And it is our job, it is our every day now, this day, we are to eat every day we get up. I want to live for Him. Listen, I want to remember Him. I don't want to forget Him. There are days I've forgotten Him. There's days that I miss. There's times that I miss where I fail to remember Him. And I haven't thought about all the good things the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. And I've walked in the discouragement of this world. God forbid I do that. And that's what He's reminding them of. He says, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. They didn't come out weak and poor either. They came out with a strong, with a high hand. That's what I love the way the Bible says that. By the time they got through with it, the Egyptians were ready to give them everything they had and get them out of there. Let's get them out of here. Well, you would too. Because what the hail didn't kill, the locusts ate up. What the fish were all gone. There's no grass. The disease has come upon the cattle and the horses and the camels and everything else, and they're all dead and gone. And we got a leader who won't change his mind. He's going to do this no matter what. No matter what comes, he's still that old hard-headed, hard-minded Pharaoh, and he won't learn. I remember dear brother Bob Dickerson preaching one time that the easiest job the Lord ever had was to harden the heart of Pharaoh. And I thought, boy, that's good. And what he simply meant is when the Lord doesn't apply His mercy and tender in our hearts are already hardened. When you see a heart that isn't hardened, you're seeing the grace of God. And if God removes His grace at all from one, that's what, you know, do you think this world is bad? If God's restraining grace wasn't in this world today, it would be many, many times worse than it is today. And when you see men getting worse, all you're seeing is God's restraining grace being removed, because that is the nature of man, and he will wax worse and worse. And the only good thing that's in this world is what God put in your heart. But be of good cheer, dear children of God, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Otherwise, we'd just be discouraged. See, I want to be real this morning and let you know about the reality of the evil that we're in, but I don't want to discourage you in thinking there's an evil that's going to overtake you, or there's a power or force that's greater than you are, or that you don't have the ability to serve God and to live for Him, or that you don't have the ability to seek after the Lord and find His favor. There are blessings found in obedience to God, and there are chastisements that come as a result of disobedience, and we're not fatalists. We believe that if we look to the Lord, He is still able to bless our little church, our community, our nation, our country. And I don't know. Somebody said, well, I think America's going down the tubes. I know this. The Lord's church will stand if America goes down the tubes. Because He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He also told even Sodom and Gomorrah, if there was but a few righteous, I'll spare the city. So let's just keep praying. Keep looking to the Lord. And who knows what great things the Lord hath in store. All we know is He's got them there. Because He's promised to. He said, I brought, and this is just peppered throughout this passage. He said, I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued. And then, if you get to verse 7, and when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you. Remember the light that led them to the sea, and then turned and became darkness to the Egyptians. Notice how the Lord dealt. The same power that was leading them and guiding them went from their front to their back and was light for them so they could see, and darkness to the Egyptians. And when it came time to go across that Red Sea, the Lord had no problem whatsoever having the water roll back on each side as heaps. You know, it's not just He stopped it off on this side, it rolled back on both sides. And they, by faith, and it would take faith, wouldn't it, walked across that river. Go forward. And the water rolls back. And I've heard some people, the old scoffers, the magicians, say, well, you know, it was just a little shallow water. And they just walked to us just a few inches at that time. It was a time of drought and just a few. No, it was in the flood stages of the river. Not only that, I'm telling you, we had heaps of walls of water. We had enough water to drown Pharaoh and all the Egyptians that followed. And there was a bunch of them that came. Okay. And get this. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. Verse 7. That means some of them that were there had been eyewitnesses of this. They saw it. And then, that wasn't all. He said, I brought you into the land of the Amorites. Boy, you read about the Amorites. You read about Sihon and Og and some of them left over from the giants and all of those mighty men, you know. And they went through and they said, let us go peacefully. But they wouldn't do that. The Lord even hardened their hearts. And so they came and would persecute the children of Israel and said, no, we're not going to let you go through. But then the Lord took care of that. Every battle they came, every trouble that faced them, as they even tried to go peaceably in this world. You know, we're told to go, not to go looking for a fight. But I'm telling you, brethren, when God's little children humbly walk in this world and they're persecuted as a result of following, don't you stop following the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you turn to the right or to the left. Don't you change from where you're standing upon the principles of God's Word. And don't fear those who say you can't do that, you can't go that way. You stand strong. Don't go looking for a fight. But I'm telling you, when they told Daniel don't pray, he went and prayed just like he always prayed. He didn't shut the door. He didn't close up anything. And the reason he didn't open a window so they could see him before, he did what he'd always done. And it brought him to a place where he was, it apparently looked like it was going to cost him his life, but it didn't do anything but cost the king a good night's sleep. That's all it did. Daniel slept in a den of lions. You think the Lord can give you sleep in a den of lions? I know He can. Now, sometimes I'm not sleeping, but I ought to be. Because I'm telling you, you've had some storms in your life, haven't you? You may be in the midst. Listen, you are in the midst of one. You may not know you're in it. But you are in the midst of a storm right now. There are war. You are in a battle in this world. There are spiritual forces that are contrary to God's little children in this world. There is spiritual wickedness in high places. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. But we are in a battle. But I'm telling you, we have the captain of the Lord's host walking with us and beside us and watching over us. And he would attack, the adversary would attack your family. He would attack your church. He will attack your home. He will do anything he can in any way that he can. And that is why Joshua is saying, brethren, you hold fast to these things, to the Lord, and you serve Him. And don't you take heed. You take heed. And you don't have to be afraid. Because there is no weapon formed against you that can overcome the Lord. There's no weapon. I'm not getting all that, but it's there. Look up weapon. You'll find the verse. Okay. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand. Get that. I gave them into your hand. I love the eyes here. All the eyes are about the Lord and what He's done. Sound like good solid preaching to me. We're not here to tell you about all we've done for the Lord. We're here to tell you about all the Lord's done for us. And it's about Him. He is the subject. We are the object. He is the one who's done the acting. We are the ones who are acted upon. And if we do any action, it'll be by the power that He gives us to be able to do it. If He doesn't give us the grace, we won't be able to do it. And He says, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess the land and get this. He said, and I destroyed them from before you. And when Balak tried to talk Balaam, and we remember about that, when Balak tried to talk Balaam into cursing them, Balaam said, look, I can't say anything but what God gives me to say. And He hadn't said for me to curse them. I have to bless them because he wanted to curse them. Because he liked the money. You know, there are a lot of people today who want, you know, it looks like that's the best way for me to go. Give me a little money, I'll say whatever you want to say. And I'll stop saying what you want me to say. I'll just give me the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And there are many that have closed their mouth because of the love of money, or have not opened it up because of the love of money. And Balaam wanted to do this, but God said, no, you're not going to curse my people. And he blessed them. And he said, I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. So God took care of him. Everyone that came against the children of Israel, God took care of them. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, that walled city. How in the world are we going to get around Jericho? And God had his plan for that. And I'm telling you, you've never heard such a battle plan in your life as what they had at Jericho. Somebody would have said, this is our battle plan, we're going to do this. Some army general would have said, man, y'all are crazy. First of all, they had to walk around that city with not a word, not saying a word. Line up the same way, walk around there. One day, go to war in the city. But the third day, I'd have said, I don't think this is working. Ain't a rock fell off this wall. Nothing's come down from this city. That wall's still standing. He said, walk around in 7 days. This ain't working. You ever been doing it God's way? Listen, you feel like it's not working. I've been praying sometimes about things that it seems like it's not working. About to give up. Listen, you may not have walked around it 7 times. He had to dip 7 times. Naaman did in the river. And not 6 times, not 5 times, not any old river. The river the Lord pointed out. The River Jordan, and you go dip 7 times in that, and he went down 6 times. He was just as much a leper on the 6th dip. It was only until the 7th dip that he came out clean. You know why? Because God said, do it 7 times. And when they went around the 7th time, they all, the walls fell flat. I wish that time would allow we could stay there a while. Busted those pitchers. Sounded the horns. Everybody's been quiet. Shouted. God's way. God's way seems mysterious. Listen, it seems weird in the world. Do you think what we're doing today seems like it makes sense in the world? Y'all mean you're just gathering over there in a little band of people, and all you're going to do is sing and pray and preach, and you know, read from this old antiquated book that was written so long ago, and live your life by that? Listen, this is the Word of God. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It isn't just today that God's children have been talked about. They have been that place, that people that has been hated down through the history of the world. Israel was hated in the old law covenant and all that time, and the Lord's church has been that people persecuted down through history. We have been blessed in a wonderful way and with no persecution for quite a while now in the Lord's church. So this little bit we might be feeling here, brethren, you just follow the Lord. You follow Him. Don't let some false philosophy, some educational idea or thought rob you of that faith that He's given you in the heart. Did you know He? Listen, I know He made the worlds. He made it just like He said in Genesis. I know that He created the heavens and the earth. And everything I see, the true science points to that. Everything else is just junk. Somebody would say, that's a foolish man talking. Well, let me be a fool. I don't believe I'm foolish at all. Paul said, I had to become a fool that I might learn. In other words, he felt to be wise, but he learned that he had to become a fool. These things are hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. Sometimes we get to, and listen, I want you to understand, it's a wisdom the world knows nothing of that's greater than any wisdom that you'll ever get from the systems of this world. If you just take this Bible as a little simple child of God and believe what it says, it gives you a wisdom that far exceeds any wisdom in this world. And a strength. And you felt it, haven't you? Listen, I'm not talking about something you haven't experienced. I'm talking about it's you. When you put the Word of God in place in your life, how was it? It wasn't when I followed His Word I got in trouble. It's when I stopped following His Word. It wasn't when I was believing Him I got in trouble. It was when I stopped believing. It's when I've turned another way that it's been to my detriment. It has always been a blessing to follow the Lord. And feel the peace and the rest that even will take you to death. Listen, this world doesn't have any answers for death. This book does. We have one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Okay. He said, I delivered. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And then all of the Amorites and all them names I've mispronounced one time. Don't need to do it twice. And the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you. You think the Lord can't take care of anybody? You send a bunch of hornets into a land. It'll turn up. The Lord, those little creatures can cause people to go the other direction. And they drove them out of the land. And he said, even the two kings, that's Sihon and Og. And he says, but not with thy sword. Get this. But not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. Listen, we are understanding today that if we're able to fight this battle and live in a way to honor the Lord, it won't be with our sword. It won't be with our bow. It won't be with our strength. We need grace, don't we? Somebody said, I'll just serve the Lord. Well, you'll not be able to serve Him if God doesn't give you grace. That's what Joshua said. They said, I'm going to serve the Lord. He said, no, you can't serve the Lord. What did he mean? Was he saying you can't serve the Lord? No. He's saying you won't be able to do it on your own. I don't have the strength to follow Him on my own. I have to look to Him for the grace that I need to walk in the grace He's given. I pray, Lord, give me that strength. Give me that ability to trust in Thee and lean upon You, Lord, in my life. And I know this, if we do trust in Him and look to Him, He will give us grace sufficient for the hour and for the moment. We don't have to be disobedient. We can follow Him. But we can't do it on our own, can we? We have to do it by His power and by His might. That's what He's telling them. And I love all of this, as you can tell. Verse 13 says, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor. Can you say that about your life? And cities which you built not. You look at your blessings. How much did you have to do with all of them? How about your church home? What did you have to do for that? Place you're fed spiritual things. The blessings of my life that I've had in this world. The dear elders that many have gone home to be with the Lord that I've had fellowship and heard preach. The times I've been in meetings and felt so much the Lord's presence I couldn't even talk and just sat there and wanted to be still before the Lord. The times even today that I come in and see brethren that I haven't seen for a while that I love and feel to be, look, Brother London, I used to be like Brother London and everybody else was older. Now I'm kind of older and Brother London's there, but I feel like we're the same age. I felt like that when Brother John Moore used to sit right there in his 80s, and I felt like he was my brother. And I feel the same with this brother and that brother and my sisters. And I didn't do a thing for this. Hear me. This is real. I didn't do a thing. I didn't labor for it. I'm telling you, Jesus died on the cross. Not only that we would have heaven, but that we'd have fellowship with friends in this world. Don't take those friendships and those blessings for granted. You got brothers and sisters. We got a big family. A whole lot of them we haven't met yet. They ain't just in the old Baptist church. They're out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. God has a people. And when you see His work in their hearts, they can't hide it. It's there. It's in them. He's worked it in them. You'll be happy when you acknowledge it and submit yourself to it and walk in it and feed on it and just lie down in the blessings He's given you and feed on them and feast on them and stay close to Him. And grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. He says, you built them not, you dwell in them, and other vineyards and the olive. Oh my, the time it's done. All that. Didn't get to my text. Joshua said, as for me and my house. Said, you can pick any of those gods. Listen, how well did those gods work for everybody? How well did those idols work? They have eyes and they can't see, ears they can't hear. You can pray unto them, talk all day long. They'll never hear you. You know why? Because they're not there. Somebody said, our God is a creation of our mind. Well, the most gods in this world are creations of men's mind, but our God made us. That's the one I want to. I don't want to serve a God I make and prop up and keep clean and, you know, can make out of silver or gold or some other thing. I need the Lord who made us. He is the one. And by the way, if I know that, it's because He had made me spiritually and allowed me to see that. And the only way to stop here is to quit. Lord, bless us to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. What that means is with our whole heart, and it means according to the revealed will of God, which is in His Word. Not just any old way, but the way He's prescribed. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.